I am Joyce Reinhard-Larsen, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection, North Dakota State University's in Fargo. It is a pleasure to visit with Walt Zimmerman and his wife Doris in their home here in Fargo, North Dakota. So Walt, we'll just begin by asking you to state your name, your date of birth, and where were you born?
Walt Zimmerman, and I was born October 4th, 1924, at Lair, North Dakota, in the old farmstead that my grandfather built in 1905, I guess.
Was that the homestead
then?
That
was the homestead, yeah. We finally ended up, my folks bought there that, but my grandpa built that in 1905. So that's where I was born.
So your grandfather, was that your father's father?
Yeah.
And where did they come from in South Russia then?
Well, my dad wasn't born in Russia. He was, I suppose Grandpa was, my grandpa was born in Germany originally. I mean, that's where they, I never quite figured out how they, because we have, I've got a cousin in Minneapolis and he's been over there, and I guess they were well-to-do, the great-grandparents. Because he had, during the war, they had a building over, a house over there that was all built out of rock. And I guess the war, they had to leave everything. And I guess they, you know, they would classify him as a millionaire, the great-great-grand, you know, not my grandpa, but. But of course they had to leave everything, and now, my cousin's been over there, and he has found this place and the cemetery where the, you know, where our relatives were born, and I guess now they may, and that house is still standing, and it but they made an apartment house out of it now, because in Germany you can only have so much square footage for an apartment, so I guess there's four apartments in there now in this big home that they had there. But he's been over there, and he does a lot of this. He works for 3M, and he has a, well, his job is, it's like a scientist. Whenever they come out with something new, he goes for 2-3 weeks in Germany and Africa and Australia, and has this. So while he's in Germany, he always drapes around in the cemeteries and
looking for his
stuff.
Ancestors.
Yeah, and he has a lot of information. He lives in Minneapolis.
Okay. When did your father die then, and where is he buried?
My dad died in November 8th in 65.
And what was his name?
Christ Zimmerman.
Okay. What's your mother's name, and where did her family come from?
Her name was Amelia Dalkey. Yeah, okay. She was born in Russia. She was 4 years old when she came over from Russia. And,
do you know where?
Well, wherever, what is it, Friedenstadt, Bessarabia, and those. Mm-hmm. Never found out much about my mother's relatives.
Is that right?
Grandpa Dalkey was not the kind to tell everybody anything, and for some reason. But like she said, now with our side, and of course being the names are the same, they've got it back to 1632, I guess.
That's amazing.
The list clear back down, you know, and there was ministers and bankers and just about everything in that. So that's kind of. So we used the same background, because up to her great-grandfather and mine, they were the same down the line then.
Well, that's very interesting.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yes. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I've had one brother.
One brother.
He passed away 2 years ago, a month after my mother passed away.
Oh. What was his name?
Melvin Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Tucson.
A small family then.
Just the two of us, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And mother passed away 2 years ago too.
Uh-huh. Did she live out there until?
She lived in Lara, in Ashley, through there, yeah.
Okay. And the family farm, did that, was that passed on or sold?
It was passed on to my uncle about, it's all, except the land still belongs to my cousins.
Oh, it does.
And when my dad had a heart attack in 55, and then my uncle bought it, and he's gone too now, but anyway, the daughters, they owned the land and they rented out to the state, I guess, the wildlife or something. Oh. So it's still in the, mm-hmm. still kind of in the family there.
Mm-hmm. So your mother didn't tell you much about the old country?
No, she didn't know anything.
Didn't know anything. But your father, did he talk about Germany?
He didn't know too much either. Okay. See, he never, you know, he was born in the United States, so mm-hmm. I don't know. He never said much either, except, you know, what we found out now through through Dallas and in Minneapolis, that's where we got all our information, through him and through mm-hmm. through her uncle Dave. He was a minister, and he went through, you know, checking into all this.
Yeah, So you really don't know much about that time of their lives. And
for some reason, mm-hmm. it was a secret. I don't know whether there must have been a reason for it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe they had to get out for some reason from Russia and from Germany. And
yeah.
A lot of things, and a lot of these people would like to forget things rather than, you know.
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. Did you speak German as a child?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Can you still speak it?
Oh, yes.
Do you know the name of the dialect?
No, I don't. I think it's not Deutsch or whatever. It's it's mixed up is what it is. It's half German, half English. But we talk German, I guess, more as just to be funny or something. We have some friends in Minneapolis, and when we're together, we talk German a lot. It's kind of interesting, but because if you don't, you're going to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
At my age, I can't lose too much anymore.
How about your children then?
No, they don't.
They don't know. How many children did you
Three
have?
Boys.
Three boys? What are their names?
Wayne and Neil and Merle.
Okay.
Wayne and Merle are in Fargo here, and Neil is out in Seattle. We're going to see them in a couple of weeks.
So they never heard you talk German, huh?
They did, but they didn't. The one of them always said, how come, you know, you talk about, so that they should know, so I would understand these. Neil said, how come you always have to talk Mexican? Of course, Wayne was in service then. And he spent 2.5 years in Germany. And so the first thing he did, he enrolled in some Mary's College out of Virginia or New Hampshire, someplace, Massachusetts. And he went to school at night to learn. So between his German and their English and their sign language, he made it in 2.5 years over there. Oh. In fact, he even got credit, you know, for going to school, so he can understand, you know, some of it, but not enough to amount to anything. But the other two, they don't.
So what are some of the childhood memories that you would have?
Oh, boy.
Did you have to work pretty hard?
You bet we worked hard. We had running water at our place.
You did?
Yep. We took two pails and we went down and we ran from the well up to the house.
I should have known that was coming.
That was our running water. Now we had, I guess, you know, there's a lot of things that, and then of course different things like at Christmas time. Now some things you can remember. I can't hardly remember my name, but I can remember some things that
from farther back, huh?
Yes, I can remember, and things were rough, you know, the depression with all the, with the grasshoppers and stuff, you know, and dust, oh, we used to. But one thing that I can remember at Christmas time one time, and I don't know why I do, but I do. At Christmas time, when I woke up in the morning, I had the,
what I had gotten for Christmas was an orange and about 6 or 8 peanuts and a little rifle that looked like a pencil. You know, had a pencil on the end.
Oh.
And that was my Christmas. And we used to get a catalog, I think it's called the Spores or something like the Spencer catalog. And it was 19 cents you could buy that thing. And that's what I got for Christmas. And I always thought that they could have afforded 50 cents worth, you know, rather than, but that was it, you know, and that's something that sticks in your mind for.
Yeah. They didn't have that many kids to buy for.
No, but they were just, and my dad hardly ever bought anything unless he couldn't pay for it. You know, and I remember when, you know, they got married in 23 in the fall of 23. And after he was gone, after he died in 65, my mother had all receipts and stuff. And he had bought equipment like a drill and a plow and a harrow and a disc, I think, from an implement dealer in Lair. Was $450, and it took him until 1937 to pay for it. But he paid for it. He paid for it. Mm-hmm. So things were.
Did he take a loan from the bank, do you think?
No, I think they just, I can't remember whether it was from the bank or whether it was just a promissory note to the implement dealer. Mm-hmm. But and it was only 400 and some dollars.
But that was a lot then, too.
But he paid for it in 1937. I looked through the stuff then. He had made a little filing cabinet out of cheese boxes and stuff. And that's where all his stuff was in. And after he was gone, then I went through all this stuff and the stuff that he had, you know. And it was in 1937 when he finally paid that up.
Were they pretty frugal then? They didn't... They hung on to their money.
They hung on to whatever, you know, and in the 30s there was no money, you know, until 37 or 38 when the crops started to get a little better, and of course then we started to, you know, bought a tractor then, or a couple of tractors, but it was slim picking. That's just like I've always said I got a lot of lickings from my dad, and I know I needed them, most of them. And I got some tough lickings. I guess I forgave him, but I never forgot.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
I mean,
was he pretty strict?
No, my dad was strict, and so was Grandpa. Oh. He was strict, but.
You mean
just. This was it. I mean, that's the way
the old
Germans did it. And my dad was good to me. I guess I needed the lickings.
You hate to say anything bad.
Yeah.
You know. But they were known to be.
Oh, yes. They were strict.
And not always. They probably didn't have to be like that.
No, they wouldn't.
Quite that
they
much,
wouldn't
but
have to be. But that's the way they were brought up.
I know it. And some people have a hard time talking about that then.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
they have some bad memories.
Like I said, I forgave my dad for the lickings I got, but I never forgot.
Uh-huh. So I bet, were you as strict with your kids?
No. No, I couldn't. In fact, I guess and that's not right either, not good. I mean, we tried to be almost too good to our kids. You know, we do things that we couldn't, and of course her dad was good to us, to her, and so we're trying to give them whatever we can. I mean,
mm-hmm.
come Christmas time or come whenever, and the same way with the grandchildren, we do, they could talk me out of my shirt, I guess, if it was warm enough, and not talk me out of it, but... I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's a totally different philosophy than what you grew up with.
Yeah.
What do you think made that change?
I don't know. I don't know if our hearts softened that much or not, but it's different. Well, I think, for one thing, money is easier to make, you know.
Yeah.
It, boy, I know one year, I don't know what year, but she has my total earnings for the year were $3,300. You know, that don't take much to make $3,300 now. Because we'll be married 49 years now in October, so things have changed.
Yeah, yeah, they have. But also prices have gone up so much, too.
Gosh, you know, I bought when we started farming, 48, I bought a tractor, paid $1,800 for it. And then I farmed for it for 3 years, and I sold it for, made $500 on it, then already. Well, you can't hardly buy one more for $1,500 now.
Yeah.
So things, cars and everything, but
yeah.
But it's been I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. When did you and your wife get married then?
October 18th, 46.
Okay. And you farmed then?
We farmed for about 3 years.
And that was down
At Larry, yeah.
At the homestead?
Well, no, in there.
Oh.
But 1 year we were dried out, and 1 year we blew out, and I don't remember what the other year, and then I said, that's it.
Then you moved to the big city of Fargo?
No, we moved to Bismarck.
Oh, you did.
And I worked in the standard station up there in 49. And after we had our auction sale and everything, we had, I think, $760 left over. We bought a trailer house, and that was enough for down payment. And we lived in that, and then we sold it. And then after I was done there, then I went to work for a Tabor's Music Store. They had a music store and an appliance store in Bismarck. And so then we were there until 61, then we moved over here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get closer to good fishing.
Oh.
Now I'm here and the fish still aren't any better. Than but we have a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
We got a cottage down there and our grandchildren and our kids come down. And
that is nice.
We've had that.
What did you do here in Fargo then?
Well, first I worked for Allen's Auto House for Volkswagen dealer, and then after that I worked for Americana Nursing Home until I retired. Mm-hmm. That nursing home, that was the best job I had. I really enjoyed it.
Where was that?
Americana, right on University, right from 13th Avenue where that standard station is, right north of Shields.
I
worked there for, I think, 14 years.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
So can you tell me a little about school when you were a youngster? Did you go to...
I went to country school.
Mm-hmm.
Our school was about a half mile from the house.
Oh.
And we always had the teacher staying with us.
You did, huh?
And not that helped me any, but at least they stayed there.
Did you have you speak German in school?
No.
You weren't allowed to?
Mm-mm.
So the teacher spoke English too?
Oh yeah, most of them spoke English. In fact, I don't know if one of them that we ever had that while I went to school, well, I guess one of them did. He was a local man there, and he taught school there for, I think, 2 years, but he could understand it. But
did that help the family to learn English, too, by having a teacher
yes.
in?
Of course, my dad, and like her dad, too, they made it a point to learn English.
They did?
They
want to hang on to their...
No. Neither my dad or her dad. They lived in America, and that's the way they're going to talk. But a lot of the Germans, they hung on as long as they could.
Yeah, they did. Uh-huh. And with school then, do you remember other nationalities of kids in your school, or was it all German?
No, I think they were all Germans,
You went through the eighth grade then?
Yeah, and then I took 1 year of correspondence, and then I went to high school 1 year, and then I had to stay on the farm to help.
Did you feel bad about that you had to give up high school, or were you ready to?
No, I guess I would have liked to gone, but
it's the way it was then.
The way it was.
Yeah. How about your brother? Was he?
He went to college and everything.
Was he younger than you?
Yeah, he's 11 years younger now.
Oh. And things had changed in that amount of time.
Oh yeah, they changed by then already.
Uh-huh.
And he's.
Was religion important in your family?
Oh, yes. We were Baptists. We were strictly Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
We still are.
Okay.
But not that, that you know.
Uh-huh. Has that changed, do you think, over the years? Do you think
Oh, yes.
Strict or...
You know, it used to be the Protestant and the Catholic, they did not, you didn't intermix. I mean, you just didn't. They didn't allow it, and the Protestants didn't. But now, a lot of our best friends are Catholic.
Yeah.
Like I always said, they all want to go to the same place, I think. At least that's what they tell me. But
so it doesn't really matter
are. But I mean, like I said, that has changed. That's changed with all of them. Even the Lutherans, the Catholics, they were pretty strict too,
mm-hmm.
years ago. But now that's not.
Being true. Baptist, then could you go to dances and play cards? And
you
things,
could or? If you got by with it.
Oh. How, were your folks strict about it? Did they?
No, I guess I never went to dances very much. I guess I played at dances a lot. And,
what did you play?
Oh, just about everything anything they need. I play keyboard and accordion. And
you do? Do you know some good old German songs?
Oh, I know a few, yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to come back and get that on tape.
But,
how did you learn?
By myself.
You did?
My family was, and a lot of her side of the family, were musically inclined. My relative, my uncles and aunts, most everybody played something.
Really?
There was a couple maybe that would sooner sew or cook or something that didn't, but all my uncles, they were all musicians. One played the fiddle, one played guitar, one the accordion. My dad played trombone and the piano, the old pump organ when he, you know, years ago, so.
Yeah.
And but I had some uncles that and aunts too that did, you know, some of them just don't, they're just not interested.
Yeah.
but they used to. I've got pictures that I had an uncle that was a photographer, one of the first ones from way back in 1915, 1920 that he took pictures black and white, and I got a lot of those.
You do.
And they were always fooling around, you know,
mm-hmm.
playing accordion or fiddle.
Did you listen to Lawrence Welk?
Oh, yeah, I always listened to Lawrence Welk.
Uh-huh. So he was looked up to, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, sure,
because
he was only about 40 miles from our, you know, from where we were born and raised.
Yeah.
And, I still listen to him. I listen to him Sunday night when he was on there.
I'm glad that's on again.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to go to Branson. I guess they got quite a
I've heard that.
Place down there. But
mm-hmm.
we were going to go last fall, and then my health wouldn't permit to leave early enough. And so
you'll have to give up a couple weekends at the cabin.
That could happen. But next year we're going for our 50th wedding anniversary. We're going to go if we're around.
Good.
That's our. So we make plans a year or two ahead all the time.
Good for you. You got something to look forward to. And
sometimes your planning is just as much fun as actually doing. Last year, we went to Seattle by Amtrak from Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
We bought our tickets in May, and then we got on to Tempe and we went up. And we planned this for a whole year, and all of a sudden we were up there and back, and it wasn't. But it's, you know.
It was time to plan something
else. Yeah, then we planned something else again, and so.
Mm-hmm. Now about in your church then, was everything done in German?
To begin with, yes. It, I would say that I was probably 10, 12 years old when then. See, then they were real good to the Germans. They only had one English service a month, one Sunday, and then the others were German. Well, then pretty soon they got turned around where they had every other Sunday they had English, and then pretty soon they'd have one German a month, and pretty soon they got away from it completely.
Yeah.
But we used to have songbooks that had English on one side and German on the other side.
Really?
So you could sing the same, or the verses were were alternated on the in the book. So, well, I don't know, and then we had a lot of good times. We had Christmas programs, you know, that when you were.
What was a Christmas program like?
Oh, we had a lot of fun
in church.
Oh, you. Everybody learned something and they sang. The Sunday school teachers, they were the leaders. And, of course, you got that big bag of apples and stuff. And
think that's a German tradition?
I kind of think it is.
I hear about it a lot, and I remember it myself.
See, we have our German club here, Red River German Club. We have Christmas at the Meridian Church.
Oh.
And this is last year we weren't here, but I think this was the fourth or fifth year. And they have Santa Claus come in or somebody, the pigeon they do, which, you know, for over there. And then they give out little gifts, and then you have everybody, somebody wants to have a little little recitation, a little piece that he wants to say. Even last year, I even got up there and made a fool of myself. Had a little verse, but, and then the Moravian Church, they do a lot of singing, too. German sing, the Moravian people.
Uh-huh.
And so they, and then they serve cookies and coffee, and we just have a real good time there.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
They usually have that the first Sunday in December uh-huh. at the church.
Tell me about Belzoniecl.
Belzoniecl, that was the, I guess, I've seen pictures of it where, you know, they didn't call him Santa Claus then. But they'd have usually the dad or whoever, or an uncle or something, dress up in an old sheepskin turned inside out. And he was the Belzoniecl, and he'd bring this stuff, and he also had a whip with him, I guess, or a stick, that if they hadn't behaved or something, they got a bag of coal, or you know, they didn't get presents like this. And I guess that, from what I gathered, that the kids, they were pretty scared at the Belzoniecl, you know, that, and that, I guess that was probably the idea, to get the kids to mind, you know. They tell them that if they didn't behave, the Belzoniecl would come, and then he'd bring them coal instead of candy or something. And
you think it really did happen?
Oh, yes,
it
yeah, oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a scare tactic.
No, no, they had this Belzoniecl. I've seen pictures already where they, and write-ups, and like we get this magazine four times a year from a German convention, from our German club here, and there's write-ups in there about.
Do you remember it from your place, your home?
No, we didn't have Belzoniecl. We didn't, in fact, we didn't have Santa Claus either. Well, I guess the Sunday school teachers or whoever, they bring the, you know, they pass out the gifts, and the, it wasn't that, you know, in church, that wasn't the real reason, you know, for having it in church. And you know, we had our little songs and stuff, and of course Santa Claus was not supposed to be in church to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
It's not a Christian.
Yeah,
thing,
it's
know.
A birth of Christ, and then of course, but now with Santa Claus, that's, you make a buck off the out of that. That's.
Yeah, right. So, would you say your parents and grandparents were suspicious, superstitious? I mean, a little bit about other things too. Can you think of anything?
I don't think my. The only thing, if somebody got sick, they would take you and have a brouts if you had ringworm or something. Or,
you know about brouts?
Oh, yes,
brouts,
I know about
huh?
brouts.
Oh.
That was, you know, I mean, you didn't go to the doctor all the time.
No.
And if you went to the doctor, about the only thing that I can know that they used, if you had a sore hand or something, they'd pack it in axle grease and tape it up and go home and wait for it, to, you know, so it wouldn't get an infection. But this brow, like for old wards and stuff, you know, there was a lot of that going on, and it worked. I knew it did.
Yeah. Why do we, when we say brauche, why do we laugh a little? Is it,
because
what is there
many,
about it?
There's so many people that don't believe in it. They think it's a just like a quack doctor. You know, it's not.
You did it
for Patrick. Yeah, I got my grandson. He had a wart on his. and here.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I had an uncle that did a lot of this too for boils and stuff.
At Brauha?
Yeah, he could do just about anything. Anyway,
yeah.
I said, well, I can take care of that. And well, he was, I suppose, 3 years ago? He's 12 now. So I said, I can take care of that wart. Wow, Grandpa. Well, I said, never mind. So I said, just get me a piece of string. So he got some string and tied it around, and I went outside and buried it. And of course, that was a big joke.
You know, you got it off?
Well,
or you buried it? Okay.
So then, anyway, you know, and so nothing was said. You know, that's why I say they laugh when they say about Brauchen.
The boys laugh.
You know, and my sons laugh too. That's a big deal, you know. And then nothing was said, and all of a sudden I said, Pat, how's your wart coming? She said, Grandpa, it's gone. Well, I said, well, do you believe in it? No. Well, he said, I have to. He said, I had it here, and it's gone, so.
Now, tell me, when you tied the string around,